All right, Sarah, so here we are downtown at the convention center, and this place has been pretty much popping all week. There's so many people here. It's like a small city under one roof.
That's right. I heard a fun fact. The convention center is actually a mile long, and it is filled to the gills with all the science conference swag you can desire, including these different colored lanyards and ribbons that indicate which science you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, that lanyard display was pretty legit. And they even had some in-house entertainment this week. Did you catch the guy rapping about climate change?
No, I did not. How about you do a retake of it?
I think he was like, sea level rise, extreme weather events, infrastructure risk is bad for business.
That's amazing.
Okay, but down to business. Let's talk about some of the coastal research this week.
Right, so Mark Schlestein wrote a story this week about how the next mega flood in Louisiana could overwhelm the old river control structure above Baton Rouge and cause the Mississippi River to switch its flow to the Atchafalaya River Basin. Basically, the problem is that sediment is building up below this old river control structure, and the sediment could block the flow of water to the Gulf.
The interesting thing there was that that could have implications for the water supply in New Orleans and in Baton Rouge, right?
That's right. 2 million folks who live in New Orleans and rely on the Mississippi River water would not be able to access the water if it was flowing into the Atchafalaya. And it's possible that salt water from the Gulf of Mexico would move far enough upriver to cause the aquifer used for drinking water by Baton Rouge to become too salty.
We also saw some new river diversion modeling this week from the Army Corps. That kind of challenges what the state and the Water Institute have been saying about diversions.
Yeah, that's right. So first thing, remember diversions are characterized as a way to mimic the way that the river built land naturally. Segments of the levee that forced the Mississippi River to stay its course would be removed, allowing the river to once again build land with sand and mud. So this Army Corps researcher, Gary Brown, he presented a model that showed the Mid-Barataria diversion would actually expedite coastal wetland loss because it would elevate the surrounding water level and drown brackish plants. Now, this is kind of the worst case scenario, and many other model runs have found much more optimistic scenarios, but his goal was really just to say that these diversions are still experiments, and so they should be presented as such to the public.
And so what's the takeaway there?
Well, the state has been presenting the public with a number of acres that these diversions could build or maintain, but Brown said the state should actually be presenting a range of numbers that show all the potential outcomes. And unfortunately, right now, that range would be pretty big.
Yeah. So people haven't just been talking about like science-y stuff this week. They've also been talking about the impacts of that science on people and what that might mean for where they live, for example. So, you know, all over the world, coastal communities are having to face hard choices related to sea level rise, and some of them are choosing to move inland to safety. I went to this panel on relocation where experts were kind of talking about how hard relocation is and the different ways to do it. Turns out the state of Illinois actually has a lot of experience with this because they've got a couple big rivers, the Mississippi, the Missouri, which flood a lot. So they have a lot of experience with buyouts and in some cases moving whole towns to higher ground.
So what lessons can people learn from Illinois?
Well, I talked to this guy, Paul Osman, who's like a floodplain manager over there. And what he would say is that states across the country should really have stricter regulations about where you can build or how much you have to elevate your home if you want to stay there. But he says it's always like a really tough juggling act between regulations on one hand and property rights on the other.
It's hard to tell somebody that specifically decided to live along a river that you can't do that anymore. It's someone's right, and it, you know, they love to live along the water.
So we'll have to see if states start moving that direction as the climate changes. Now, I think that's it, Sarah. You got anything else?
I do. I have a joke for you.
What's the joke? Lay it on me.
How many CVS receipts does it take to stretch from the earth to the sun?
I'm familiar with Walgreens, but I don't know about CVS.
8.7.
Perfect. All right. Well, Sarah, another great Coastal News Roundup. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.